الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن الا وانتم مسلمون يا ايها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحده وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والارحام ان الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم اعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما اما بعد اصدق الكلام كلام الله وخير الحدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الامور محدثاتها وكل محدثه بدعه وكل بدعه ضلاله وكل ضلاله في النار. This is another lesson that we're having by the mercy and the grace of our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, reading from the book of knowledge from Sahih al-Bukhari. The chapter that we're doing this lesson is the chapter of Bab Kitabat al-Ilm, which is the chapter of writing the knowledge. Indeed, writing knowledge was something which was very important in the history of Islam. Starting from the scholars have mentioned Sheikh Zayd having a long father, Sheikh Zayd al-Mosfari mentioned, when we talk about Kitabat al-Ilm, when we talk about writing knowledge, the first thing that we immediately comes to mind is the writing of the Quran. The writing of the Quran, as it was done on the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had over 40 individuals. He had over 40 individuals who were responsible for writing the Quran. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam read the Quran from Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, and then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam used to sit with his companions, and he would recite the Quran to them, and they would write it down. They would write it down in different types of materials that were present on the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, such as wood, which is the skin of the animals and the likes. So, writing of knowledge was something from the beginning of Islam. And even the ulama, they mentioned the statement of Allah ta'ala, where Allah ta'ala says, "Alladhi 'allama bil-qalam, 'allama al-insana ma lam ya'lam." That Allah Ta'ala mentioned about the pen, and that Allah Ta'ala taught with الَّذِي عَلَّمَ بِالْقَلَمَ. Allah taught with a pen. عَلَّمَ الْإِنْسَانَ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ. Allah taught mankind that which they did not know. And likewise, the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned in the authentic hadith, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ الْقَلَمَ فَقَالَ لَهُ اُخْتُبْ. The first thing that Allah created for, the actual translation is when Allah first created the pen. Not the first thing that Allah created was the pen, because the ulama have mentioned when you do research, you find that the first thing that Allah has created was the arsh, was the throne of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So when Allah first created the pen, he said, write. And the pen said, وَمَا أَقْتُبْ. What should I write? Allah says, أُقْتُبْ مَا هُوَ كَائِنٌ إِلَى يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Allah said, write that which would take place until the Day of Judgment. So the affair of the pen in Islam is something tremendous. And the ulama of the past, rahimahumullah ta'ala, as well as the ulama of the present, they have that which is called Kitabat al-Fawaid, writing down the benefits. The ulama of the past and the ulama of the present, they used to always write down their benefits. And they would write, note in the books, so you have books that the scholars have written, and they wrote in every direction, meaning they wrote from the right to the left, and then they wrote from on the side of the page. They wrote vertically, they wrote horizontally. They did not allow any portion or corner of the page to be without writing, because they were very diligent in one, preserving their materials. They did not have a lot of paper and the likes. And two, they were very diligent in making sure that they write down all of the information that came to them. All of the information that came to them. They of that, you find that many of the ulama, they have in their chapters of the books of the Salaf, they have chapters referring to kitab al-ilm, chapters referring to writing knowledge, just like we find in this chapter of Sahih Bukhari, writing knowledge. Because Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, just like the Salaf who came before him and also came after him, they realized that one of them was is by it being written down. Is by it being written down. And the greatest proof of that is the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jal sent down prophets and messengers, and Allah Azza wa Jal sent down books. Allah Azza wa Jal sent down books. It's intangible in order to preserve the knowledge. So Allah Azza wa Jal says, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ. Allah Azza wa Jal says, in the Quran, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ. Verily, we have sent it to you. And in another verse of the Quran, وَإِنَّ لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. Verily, we will preserve it. Like I mentioned, preserve. Preserving what? Meaning preserving the book. إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَلْنَا الذِّكْرَ. إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّ لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. Verily, we have sent down the reminder, the Quran, and verily, we would preserve it. We would protect it. So, that which Allah SWT sent down was a book. That which Allah SWT sent down was a book, and Allah would protect the book because it's written. Allah would protect it from being distorted, from being lost. Allah would protect it, which informs you of that which is written should be preserved and protected so that the knowledge can be passed on to the later generations. So we find that the ulama of Rahimahullah ta'ala in their books, they wrote chapters on writing the knowledge. Because by writing it, it will be preserved. Another thing that shows you that writing the knowledge was, if you read in the history books of the Muslim lands that were conquered by the Kufar, such as Andalus, which is in Spain. You know, when Andalus became conquered by the Kufar, and when other lands became conquered by the Kufar, and the Crusades, and the likes of that. If you read in the history books, you find that the Muslims, they would even go to the extent of burying or placing them inside of coffins, and then burying them. The Muslims went to the extent of placing their books and their notebooks and their written materials, they went to the extent of placing them inside of coffins and burying them, because the Kufar, the first thing that the Kufar would try to do was they would try to burn their written knowledge. They would try to burn their written knowledge so that the later generations would not have access to the information. So the later generation would not have access to the information. So the Muslims, they realize that one of the ways that they can fool and trick the Kufar is by placing the books in coffins, that the Kufar would generally have respect. Okay, you're burying your dead. So the Muslims would place the books inside of coffins and bury them in the ground with the hopes that the later generations of Muslims would dig them up and find the written information. And obviously that can't be with a person that dies. You know, when a person dies, their knowledge dies with them. When a person becomes very ill, their knowledge is lost, meaning the knowledge is within their chest. It's lost. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith of Abdullah bin Amr bin As, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْزِعِ الْعِلْمَ إِنْتِذَاءً مِنْ صُدُورُ الرِّجَالِ. For if Allah would not take away the knowledge by removing it from the chest of the men. وَلَكِنَّهُ يَنْزِعَهُ بِمَوْتِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. But Allah would remove the knowledge by the passing away of the scholars. So when a scholar dies, the knowledge dies with him. But if you have the knowledge which is written in books, then the knowledge is preserved. And because of that, you had that when the Furub al-Riddah, which was the battle that took place immediately after the death of the Prophet, and you had certain victims that apostated and left Islam, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he wanted to fight those individuals. And Umar ibn Khattab, he felt that how can we fight these individuals, and Abu Bakr mentioned that we have to fight them because they are not giving the Zakat and the likes of that. During those wars, many of the Fufab, many of the Muslims who had memorized the Quran and likewise memorized the Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were passing away. They were becoming martyrs. They were becoming martyrs. Abu Bakr gathered the people and said, Umar Afan gathered the people and said, we have to gather the Quran. We have to gather it and we have to write it down. And likewise, this took place on the Prophet Quran. Likewise, this took place on the Quran. We have to gather the Quran because the people that have memorized the Quran, they are passing away. And finally, the Sahaba agreed to gather the Quran and write it down in one book. Previously, it was written down, but it was scattered. And it was memorized. So they brought the two meanings of preserving the Quran together. The people who had memorized the Quran, they brought them, and the people who had written the Quran, they brought them, and they gathered the Quran in one book, which shows you that writing something is preservation of that knowledge. Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, brings the chapter of writing of knowledge. Why? Because through all of these chapters, he's mentioned about knowledge and the importance of knowledge and for protecting the knowledge and spreading the knowledge. Now he's going to mention how is knowledge preserved. Well, one of the means of preserving the knowledge is by writing the knowledge. Imam al-Bukhari says, Rahimahullah ta'ala, hadithna Muhammad bin Salam, qala akhbarna Waqi' bin Jarrah. He's the famous Imam, one of the scholars of Ahlul Sunnah of his time. And many of us know the narration that Imam al-Shafi'i, he mentioned, فأرشدني بفرق المعاصي وقال إن علم الله نور نور الله لا يعطى إلى عاصي. فإمام الشافعي رحمه الله تعالى شيخ الإمام محمد بن إدريس الشافعي he mentioned that I complained to Waqi'. This is that Waqi'. He said I complained to Waqi'. سوء حفظي. My poor memorization. فأرشدني إلى فرق المعاصي. So Waqi' directed me to, or instructed me to abandon sin. وقال إن علم النور. And he said, Abi, knowledge is light. And the light of Allah he does not give to a sinner. So Imam Muhammad ibn Idris al-Shafi mentioned, I complained to Waqi'. We've heard narration in many talks of the lectures, and we've read it in the books. We've heard the narration in many talks of the scholars, and we've read the books. The narration in books, this is that Waqi' bin Jarrah. And Sufyan, this khilaf is the Sufyan authority of Sufyan bin Uyayna, and both of them are scholars, and both of them are reliable. And Muqtabar and al-Sha'abi, Juhayf, Qala Hutul Ali, and he said, so Abi Juhayf is the Tabi'i, and he's questioning Ali ibn Talib. Abu Juhayf, he's Wahab al-Sawai, he's questioning the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Companion, and the fourth Khulafa of Rashidin, Qutbu bi Ali, had indicum kitabu, do you have a book? And the scholars mentioned that the reason why Abu Juhayf is questioning Ali, do you have a book? Because the Shia, as we know, the Shia first came apparent in Islam after Uthman and at the time of Ali, the Shia became apparent in Islam. So they began to spread the rumor that Ali had a different revelation, that Ali had another revelation, that Ali had knowledge which was specifically for Ahlul Bayt. And notice what he said, do you all? If he's only talking to Ali, why is he saying, do you all? Some of the scholars say he's doing it for Ta'abin, he's doing it out of respect for Ali. And some of them are saying, no, he did to say to Ali, do you or anyone else from Ahlul Bayt? Because Shia, they have the claim that Ahlul Bayt, they have knowledge, they have a different Quran. So Abu Juhayfa, Wahab al-Sawai, he's saying to Ali and the rest of Ahlul Bayt, do you have a book which is different from the rest of the Muslims? Do you have knowledge which is not known by the rest of the Muslims? And this hadith is a refutation against Shia. Ali said to them, in that kitab Allah, I only have the book of Allah, and is that which every other Muslim has? Our famun or قرات هي هو رجل مسلم or an understanding. Any that Allah Ta'ala gives understanding to people, understanding of the tafsir of the Quran, understanding of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أو ما في هذه الصحيفة, and that was written in these on these sheets of paper, or you know, animal skin or the like. So Ali, he's saying, no, I have the Book of Allah, I have understanding, you know, tafsir of the Quran, understanding of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I have what is written on these pages. قلت فما في هذه الصحيفة. I said أبو جهيفة واحد الصواعي. He said, so what is in those papers? Or what is on the sheets? He says, العقل الدية. Ali said two things. Not an عقل عفوان. Ali said three things. رضي الله عنه. One, is an الدية. If you kill someone, you either are killed or you have to pay ransom. You have to pay money. Just not something specific for us. It's something in the Book of Allah. It's also something in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَفِكَاكُ الْأَثِيرُ, and also the Muslim prisoner, we should pay to the kuffar. If a Muslim individual is caught in war and the like for that, and he's taken as prisoners, we should pay money to the kuffar. وَلَا يُقْتَلُ مُسْلِمٌ بِكَافِرٍ, and a Muslim, if he kills a disbeliever, the Muslim is not killed. If a Muslim kills a disbeliever, the Muslim is not killed. He can be jailed and he can be punished, but he should be forced to pay the ransom money, but the Muslim, the life of a Muslim is not taken for the life of a disbeliever. Like we mentioned, this hadith, the one, it's a refutation against the Rafidah, those who claim that Ali and the rest of Ahlul Bayt, such as Fatima, such as Hassan, such as Hussein, they have knowledge that the other Muslims don't have. This hadith is very clear. Ali saying, no, I only have the Book of Allah, I have understanding, and I have things which were written in these sheets. That's one thing, or those are some of the things that we benefit from the hadith. Also, this hadith shows you that Ali used to write knowledge. That Ali taught him the Book of Allah, he used to write knowledge, he used to write hadiths which he heard from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before moving on, there are certain hadiths which are authentic, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered the companions not to write. The scholars respond to those narrations, and they join other narrations which come, like we're going to the next chapter, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the companions to write. And they said, how do we understand, is there a contradiction or a discrepancy between these narrations? There's no contradiction, nor is there any discrepancy. At the beginning of his sermon, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade the companions from writing down his narration, hadith, because I don't want them to confuse the speech of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the speech of Allah azza wa jalla. So in the beginning of the sermon, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed the companions not to write down his narrations. This is that which the scholars have mentioned. Why? Because it is clear, if you want to understand the Sunnah, if you want to understand the prohibition, then you should gather all of the narrations related to that matter. So when they gather all of the narrations, it becomes clear that the Prophet told them, he told them not to, and then he told them to do it. Which means in the beginning of Islam, it was prohibited, and later on in Islam, when people became clear and familiar with the Quran, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allowed them to narrate from him and allowed them to write his narrations. And continuing, the next hadith, قال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله تعالى حدثنا أبو نعيم الفضل بن دكين قال حدثنا شيبان عن يحيى عن أبي سلمة عن أبي هريرة أن خزاعة قتلوا رجلا من بني ليث. This hadith is on the authority of Abu Huraira, where an individual from the tribe, or individuals from the tribe of خزاعة, they killed a man from the tribe of Layth during the year of the conquering of Mecca, because the tribe of Layth, they killed one of the individuals from the tribe of Quzaha. This information got to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got on his camel, and then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fakhadabah, the Prophet gave Allah. So it showed you at the beginning of the hadith, it showed you that it's permissible for the scholar, for the teacher to get. It doesn't have to be that he has to teach in the master's institute, nor does he have to teach in a learning center. Wherever you are, you teach the people. Wherever you are, you teach the people. Probably the other messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's in Allah, that's in Mecca. And this was actually something, you know, the hadith was something we read a few weeks ago about the fact that Mecca is a sanctuary. The fact that Mecca is a sanctuary. So we won't read that part. So, and you can read it yourself, the fact that Allah forbid that people before Mecca, they were only merciful to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a portion of the day when he conquered Mecca sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the hadith, which is the shahid from the hadith, a person came from Yemen. That shows you, or that portion of the hadith shows you what a privilege that he brought up, shows you the importance of traveling to seek knowledge, and it was something that we previously did. And a person from Yemen, and those days there were no airplanes, there were no cars, no like of that, so you can only come by walking, or by camel, or horseback, or like of that. So he came from Yemen to seek knowledge from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Faqara uktub diya Rasulullah. So when you came from Yemen, and he said, ya Rasulullah, write for me. Write for me. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, uktubu li abi fulan. And in another narration, uktubu abu li abi shah. Write for Abu Shah. So they began to write, and he's saying, he's basically seeking out, Ya Rasulullah, write something for me so I can take back to my people, so I can preserve the knowledge. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could not read or write. So he instructed his companions to write for this individual, things which were halal, things which were haram. And this, with that comes is something that was from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until the latter days in Quran. That people came just for the same year, Rahim Allah Ta'ala, they came from Allah. They came from this Allah. And they said, they're the same year, we want to take something back to our people about the Aqidah, about the belief of the Muslims. So he put a year wrote an Aqidah to the Wafatiyah. He wrote them a treaty, he gave it to them, and they returned to their tribe, they returned to their village, and they told the people the Aqidah of Ahl Sunnah. Likewise, people came to Ibn Taymiyyah from Tabriz. In the city called Tabriz, he said, "We're from Tabriz, and we want to write for you the belief of the believers." So Ibn Taymiyyah wrote an aqidah at Tadmuri. So Ibn Taymiyyah wrote an aqidah at Tadmuri, and you also had, for example, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. So Ahl al-Qasim, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, known about it as Ahl al-Qasim. Because he was in Riyadh. In other words, Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, he was visited, or he sent a letter to the people of Qasim explaining the Aqeed of Ahl Sunnah. So here we have an example of that, somebody coming from Yemen and saying to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, write something for me, so he can take it back to his people and his people can benefit from that. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wrote, or he instructed his companions to write some of the Islamic holdings for this individual. So we have that from this hadith. And moving on to the next hadith, we have Imam Bukhari bin Jahim al-Atar, Hadithna Ali ibn Abdullah, Qala Hadithna Sufyan, this is story of Ibn Uyayn, Qala Hadithna Amboy, Qala Akhbarani Wahab ibn Munabbih, Wahab ibn Munabbih, he has a brother Hammam, and that's who he narrated from, and Akhihi Qad, Sami'at Abba Harid al-Yaqul, ما من أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أحد أكثر حديثا عنه مني إلا ما كان من عبد الله بن عمر فإنه كان يكتب ولا أكتب. أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه was saying that there's no companion that has more hadiths than me other than عبد الله بن عمر بن عاص. For verily he used to write and I did not used to write. In this hadith we have the merit of Abu Hurairah. Abu Hurairah is informing you that no companion has more narrations than him. And this is not done out of pride. This is not done out of pride. This is just information. Abu Hurayra, he's very far from being prideful. But he's informing you, one, of information, how diligent he was in memorizing the hadiths of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But there's several things we want to mention. Another thing that we benefit from this hadith is the merit of Abdullah bin Amr bin Aas. Because Abdullah bin Amr bin Aas used to write a lot of the narrations, everything he heard from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to write. But an issue is, why after the death of the Prophet, we find that Abu Huraira narrated more than Abdullah bin Amr bin As? Several reasons. One, because Abdullah bin Amr bin As was very fearful about making mistakes. He was very fearful about making mistakes. Two, Abdullah bin Amr bin As, after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he traveled to other lands, he traveled to Egypt, and he traveled to many different lands. So he was present outside of Medina, whereas Abu Huraira was present inside of Medina. And people, when they would travel, after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, most of the people would come to Mecca and Medina to seek knowledge. So Abdullah bin Amr bin As, who had written down the Mu'awar, or the narration of the Prophet, he was not present in Medina, so he did not have the number of students. Like, it's mentioned that Abu Huraira had more than 800 students who narrated from him, because he's been in at Medina, so he traveled between Mecca and Medina. Whereas Abdullah bin Amr bin outside, he was in Egypt, he was in Sham, he was in Syria, so he did not have the number of students like Abu Huraira. Another issue is, Abu Huraira used to write after the death of the Prophet. During the time of the Prophet, so during the lifetime of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Huraira did not write. But after the death of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he began to write down that which he memorized from the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the reason why that's said is because it is said that Abu Huraira used to divide his night into three. He used to sleep a portion of the night, he used to stand and worship a portion of the night, and he used to review that which he wrote from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam another portion of the night. So it shows Abu Huraira in general, he did not write. He requested for the Prophet, or he complained to the Prophet, he spoke of migration, the Prophet supplicated for him, and he said after the Prophet supplicated, I did not forget anything I heard from him. So in general, Abu Huraira would not write, but from time to time, especially after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to write. Another benefit we get from the hadith is the importance of writing down, because Abdullah bin Amr bin As used to write down the narration from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Abu Huraira considered that he had preserved more of the Sunnah than himself, radiallahu ta'ala anhum wa arda'ah. That's the last hadith of tonight's lesson, and inshallah ta'ala next week we will continue with our explanation of the book. May Allah knows that, so Allah knows that, and 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 Allah knows that,